Good morning and welcome to Senate Finance. We are going to hear, excuse me just a moment, we're going to hear public testimony today on HB 65 and HB 66, which are the operating budget and the mental health trust, or the mental health budget. And we're going to be going from at 9 o'clock, Bethel, Nome, Kotzebue, and Unalaska at 9:30. We're going to go to the Barrow, Tok, and Delta LIOs at 10, Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg. And from 10:30 to 11, we'll go Sitka, Cordova, and Valdez. And then we'll recess and come back in the afternoon to finish up today's round of public testimony. And then we'll do it again tomorrow. And we're going to limit testimony to 3 minutes. And present at the table are Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, Vice Chairman Fairclough, and Senator Olson. Senator Meyer is in the LIO in Anchorage, and Senator Hoffman is on state business. With that, there's really any business to come before the committee other than public testimony? Any comments, anything like that? Hearing none. First, how are we set up over there, Bree? And
Danae,
okay. Are we all set up and ready to go? Okay. All right. Okay. And you don't have anyone in Bethel, Nome, Kotzebue, or Unalaska at this time? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I guess we do have someone in Nome. Now, we have Betsy Brennan online at the Nome LIO. And Betsy, go ahead and testify, and if you could keep your comments to about 3 minutes. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Betsy Brennan. I am president of the Nome Public School Board of Education, and I'm also a parent of two students in our school district. As a state and as a community, we have the enormous responsibility to honor to educate all of our children. The goal of public education is to take all of our children that come and help them learn, grow, and develop. In Nome and around the state, when students leave our district, we want them to have the tools to be successful in whatever they choose to do in life. The outcome of public schooling is so important to the future of our city of Nome, to our great state of Alaska, and to our country. The students educated in our public schools today are our future, and these students are our greatest resource. I'm proud of Nome Public Schools, and I'm proud of the education all our students receive. Nome Public School staff work hard and are making progress in student learning, and they're addressing the challenges we face. In 2012, Nome Public Schools' dropout rate decreased significantly from the previous year. This past fall of 2012, our work keys results showed 87% of the Nome Public School students tested earned job-ready scores. Nome Public Schools has been part of the State of Alaska pre-K pilot program, and we have seen amazing results with our students being ready for kindergarten. We've learned that the pre-K program will have significant cuts statewide and also here in Nome, and the loss of this funding will significantly harm the students of Nome. Every year, Nome Public Schools has higher operating costs for things like fuel, electricity, transportation, food, insurance, yet we still need to keep the services we provide all of Nome's kids at the same level or even better, and this is true across the state. I'm here today to tell you that Alaska must invest in its most important resource, its children, providing excellent funding for the public education of our kids is one of the most vital investments we can make as a state. Students in our public schools are the future of Alaska. Thank you for your time and the opportunity to testify before you today.
Thank you, Betsy. Appreciate your testimony. Have just a brief at ease. We're back on the record, and apparently there is another person in the, or there is a person in the Bethel LIO that wishes to testify. I don't think I have the name. What is it, Danae?
Sally Russell.
Sally Russell. Sally, if you're there, go ahead and testify. If you could keep your comments to about 3 minutes. Appreciate it. Go ahead. Sally Russell at the Bethel LIO, if you're there, go ahead, you're good to testify. We're connected. Sally, we're going to see if there, if you can hear my voice, we're going to see if there are some technical difficulties. If there are some, we'll get back with Sally if we can get her hooked up. There are some people in the Barrow LIO. Sandy,
yes.
Sandy Schoen.
My name is Sandy Stolenberger, and I'm a volunteer with the Imagination Library Program up here on the North Slope. I've lived in Barrow for the past 7 years and have been the volunteer chair of the program since it was established in 2009. We now send a free book each month to about 85% of the kids up on the North Slope, age 0 to 4. I'm now in my late 60s, and I've spent a lifetime volunteering, and I've never worked on a nonprofit program which was so beloved and appreciated. If you live in a remote village, it's very difficult to get books for your young children, even if you can afford them. By organizing independent imagination libraries around the state, Best Beginnings has enabled young parents to take action to improve the learning environment for their infants, toddlers, and preschoolers within their homes. The books which we send out are treasured and read again and again, and the children themselves ask repeatedly for them to be read. And they flourish in the warmth of the interaction with parents and caregivers who are doing the reading. The key to the exceptional success of this program in Alaska has been the ongoing organization and training offered to volunteers by Best Beginnings. Last year, Best Beginnings developed and released a DVD called Babies on Track with two companion board books. And the DVD features babies from many locations in Alaska, including Barrow, and demonstrates to parents and caregivers how to help their baby's brain grow during the critical first few years. Our organization held parties with viewings of Babies on Track in all of the North Slope Borough's remote villages and at several locations in Barrow. When I returned to three of those villages last summer with the circus camp, which our diabetes program runs, I was amazed to see that I could pick out infants and toddlers whose parents had been exposed to the DVD and had used the board books in interacting with their children. When I gathered the parents and kids for story hours, I had children who crawled across the floor, poked through a stack of books to find the Babies on Track books. One father told me he was convinced his 8-month-old daughter would learn to read before she could walk. She was so entranced with books. I would like to request the restoration of the $37,500 in funding for Best Beginnings, which was cut from the budget for next year, and your support for funding parents as teachers at the governor's proposed level of $1,042,500. And also to thank you very much for your support in past years in making this exceptional program possible up here on the slope.
Sandy, does that conclude your testimony?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your insights. Appreciate that. At this time, we can go, we're going to try back to Sally Russell in Bethel. Sally, are you there?
Good morning. I'm here.
Hello. Go ahead and testify. If you could keep it to about 3 minutes, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. This is Sally Russell. I've lived in Bethel for 20 years and raised my family here. I'm the assistant director at UAF Kuskokwim campus now, but for the 8.5 years before I started working at the university, I was the coordinator for the Bethel Therapeutic Court, and I'm here to testify on behalf of funding for the Therapeutic Courts programs. In the years I was with the Bethel Therapeutic Court, 150 clients came through the program. I know all of them because I was there for all of their courses with the Therapeutic Court. I would like to testify in support of funding for Therapeutic Courts, primarily based on public safety. What I saw was that the clients who came into our court, when they climbed into their cars or onto their snow machine or boat or four-wheeler, intoxicated, they didn't have the intention of going out and killing someone. Nevertheless, that's the outcome of climbing onto a vehicle and taking that instrument into your hand. But the people didn't come in with a criminal intent necessarily when they took that action, and I think that's what makes them different from a lot of folks who end up in jail. And the consequence I saw of people going to jail for their DUI offenses, in many cases, what they heard there from other prisoners was that people just couldn't wait to get out and get drunk again. And the difference, of course, with going through treatment with Therapeutic Court is that some people take that as an opportunity to change their lives and deal with their addiction issues, and there's a very powerful effect of completing a therapeutic program and wanting to stay sober and having some tools to try to make that difference in their lives. So thank you for listening to me, and I hope that you will choose to keep funding for Therapeutic Courts.
Thank you, Sally. Just a quick note. The courts made a compelling case regarding therapeutic courts in the Senate, and it is actually included in the Senate budget. Of course, that makes it conferenceable, and it still has a ways to go, but thank you for your testimony, and it did not fall on deaf ears. All right.
Thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Now let's go to the TOC LIO, and we have three people there to testify. Beginning with Jane Teague. Jane, could you go ahead and testify and keep your comments to about 3 minutes?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hey, my name is Jane Teague, and I want to thank you for taking the time to hear my testimony. I want to testify to urge all the senators to find alternatives to cutting funding from programs in early childhood. I'm a mother of a 3-year-old girl, and I was enrolled in the Parents as Teachers program in my community. My family visitor met with me and my little girl on a regular basis, and we would do activities to support her development. We also looked at what was coming next in terms of her development and different ways that I could support her ability to learn and explore. Often the materials were things I could find in my community and with little or no cost involved. This is important as we live on one income. My little girl turned 3 last November and has entered a preschool environment where she is thriving. She is healthy and learning well in all the domains, which thanks to my home visitor, I know includes language, social-emotional skills, gross motor and intellectual abilities. I feel the home visits have helped me prepare my daughter for her next learning environment, and I feel confident that she will enter kindergarten ready to embrace school and academic learning. The Parents as Teachers program also gave me the skills to reach out to other children in Alaska. My husband and I have just become a licensed foster home and hope to help care for another young child that need support. We would not have undertaken this without the support of our early learning program here in Tote. My daughter is an avid reader, and we are thankful to the Parents as Teachers programs for always bringing new and age-appropriate books into our home. We have made reading a priority every day, and my daughter loves this special time when we enjoy stories together. As a family, we have been collecting the library, but I do know of some of the homes where there are very few books and activities for young children. A family visitor who arrives with both is a very valuable experience for children in my community. The program we were enrolled in really makes connections for families with young children to socialize and explore together. Once a month, there are wonderful classroom activities for young children to explore, and my family visitor would always encourage walking at the school in the colder months. By socializing our children from an early age, we allow them to understand more of their own culture and the cultures around them. It also builds a wonderful sense of community for young families. The fact that exercise and well-being are also being encouraged is an important health consideration for families in my community. I consider my program to be vitally important to young children, not only in my community, but across the state of Alaska. I urge you to support it and find more creative ways to cut funds. The children of Alaska deserve the very best, and we have a program that is delivering better than the best. If it's not broken, don't fix it. I'd like to thank you for your past support and ask that you retain funding for the Parents as Teachers program. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. We appreciate your testimony. We're going to go to Todd. I'm not going to struggle with your last name. You're at the TOKE LIO. Could you go ahead and state your name for the record and testify?
Good morning, Senate Finance Committee, co-chairs, Senators Kelly and Meyer. My name is Todd Pogue, Superintendent, Alaska Gateway School District. This is my 6 year as a superintendent of the school district. Give a little background on the school district. The Alaska Gateway School District encompasses 28,000 square miles located in the eastern interior of Alaska. The district services approximately 400 students in seven communities with extreme weather conditions. Distance between the central office and Token outlying schools range between 12 and 173 miles. All the schools are on the road system. The temperature range is between 32 below to 72 degrees above winter and summer. A little bit about the programs we've been running, and then there'll be a request at the end. Over the past 4 years, the district has implemented a number of initiatives to enhance student learning opportunities, which include operating preschools and villages without a Head Start program, reinstating the music and counseling programs after more than a five-year absence, establishing professional learning communities so teachers can disaggregate data and discuss student strategies, incorporating peer observation so teachers are able to learn best practice techniques from each other, creating teacher instructional grants to fund projects that show promise in increasing student achievement, providing correspondence and college classes for students, implementing literacy blocks for language arts, and the continued development of energy-saving practices, such as providing heat and partial electricity to the largest district in the largest district school through biomass, and upgrading LED lighting throughout the district. AGSD supports three-year forward funding of K-12 schools with an increase to the base student allocation. This district request is based on the continued need to keep programs that are just plain and simple good for kids, as listed above. Unfortunately, the budget drives instruction, but the positive programs that have taken time to develop should have an opportunity to be continued. At a minimum, the base student allocation should be established for at least 1 year, but preferably three ahead, to provide sufficient time for school districts to prepare and submit their budgets in a timely manner without spending unnecessary time and resources revising budgets based on legislative action after the local budget process has already begun. The current BSA of 5680 has not been increased since 2010. Health plan costs are estimated to increase 18% next year. Classified and certified wages in this district make up 67% of our budget. Energy costs continue to increase, which also impact travel and shipping of goods from instructional and maintenance supplies to food in the lunch program. The district will be fiscally strained to reemploy school staff, such as a district-wide instructional coach, counselor, and music teacher, preschools and villages without Head Start programs, after-school programs, and maintenance custodial staff that further to further ensure clean, safe, and inviting school atmospheres. The district will be fiscally strained to implement the newly adopted Alaska standards and principal and teacher evaluation model. Now, last year, the board supported a resolution, and at the end of it, it said, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Alaska Gateway School District supports three-year forward funding of K-12 schools and a $320 increase to the base student allocation as recommended in the funding review conducted by the Alaska Council of School Administrators in cooperation with the Department of Education at the request of the Commissioner of Education. And that was last year, and it was dated December 11th, 2011. And just to wrap up, I'd like to thank the Senate Finance Committee for hearing our testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Pogue. Appreciate your testimony. I appreciate your testimony, but you may have damaged your credibility a little bit when you talked about the temperatures ranging from a low in Tok of, did you say 32 below?
An average low of 32 below.
Oh, okay, all right. I'm following you there.
We get down to 80 below once in a while, so.
That would have been the tropics, considered the tropics sometimes when I've been in Tok. Okay, Mr. McManus, are you online and available?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead and testify, please.
Thank you very much. Good morning to the committee there. My name is Scott McManus. I'm the Assistant Superintendent for Alaska Gateway School District, and I'd like to comment on the need to increase our investment in education in the state. I would first like to say that as a school district, we have been making some real gains. We have more schools who have made AOIP now than ever before, and the assessment scores of our at-risk students have been slowly improving. But the process of improvement of a school system is not something that's done overnight. It takes time and perseverance and maintaining and staying the course. We are doing everything we can to provide our teachers with the tools they need so that they can provide the best education possible to our students. But we do this in the face of ever-mounting costs, and it becomes more and more difficult to provide that quality education that all of our students deserve. The cost of utilities in our region, as you all know, is high. It's not as high as some areas. I grew up in Bush. I grew up in Ambler. And so the costs here are not as high as they are in Ambler, but they're significantly high. Heating fuel for our schools is closing in on $4 a gallon. Electricity is 52 cents a kW in Tok right now when you add up the demand rate and all the other costs that are related to it, and 72 cents a kW in Northway. We have taken steps as a district to address these issues. As some of you probably know, we have a biomass heat system in Tok that is a cogeneration system, so we're generating electricity and heat for the school, and we are the first school district to operate a cogen system that's based on biomass in the country, that we've been able to find anyway. We also have a biomass heating system in Tetlin that we are working through the local community there to operate. And so, you know, we're providing a significant amount of heat in two of our schools and a significant amount of the power. And we're continuing, as the superintendent stated, to upgrade our lighting systems to higher efficiency LED lights. And we're doing this on a schedule that will include all the schools when we're done. But making these kind of investments costs a lot of money. But it's something we have to do because the long-term savings are significant and they go right into student services. You know, we're not interested in being in the utility business, but we're having a tough time being in the education business given how much money we're having to spend on those services. Our health insurance carrier just informed us last week that we need to plan for an 18% increase in our rates this year. So we now are budgeting $1.2 million for next year for 52 employees that receive health care. We've worked with our staff and we've shopped around for lower costs of insurance, but that has been unsuccessful. The other thing is that one would think that with the current state of economy in the states and in Alaska, but mostly in the states, that hiring quality teachers would be easier, but that's not really the case. And in part, this is because we have a retirement system that's not competitive when you compare it to what other states are providing to their teachers who are new to the profession, and teacher salaries in Alaska have not kept up with inflation or the rate of increases in other states. Plus, combine that with the higher cost of living here and it becomes that much less attractive for trying to get the most quality teachers that we can into our schools. So at this point, we are estimating a significant reduction in our, increased cost in our school budget for next year, in part because of the anticipated increases that we've mentioned. We had a school board meeting this week, and among the items that we mentioned, that they mentioned being cut, were the music program to our students. They were talking about cutting the food service program, and we're definitely going to have to be reducing staff. So these are serious cuts, in part based on the increased cost of operations, and they're going to impact the quality of education that we're able to provide to our students. So I wanted to encourage the Senate Finance Committee to make the needed investments in education that will allow us to provide the quality education that our students here in Alaska deserve, and to look at increasing the base student allocation, which has not changed in the past 3 years. And that's the conclusion of my testimony, and I'd like to thank the Senate committee for their time.
Thank you, Scott. Hey, I have a question for you. What was it you said that the insurance premium was for 52 employees?
$1.2 million. Just a little bit under $1.2.
Okay, thank you. Senator Fairclough, did you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, I just was wondering, for those that are waiting online to testify, in regards to education, which is absolutely important and critical to the state of Alaska, I'm just wondering if we should make a statement about our fiscal situation. Currently, the state, when we left last year, thought we would have over $500 million of surplus funds, but with the decline of oil production in the pipeline, Alaska, at least when we started session, was facing a $400 million deficit for the budget.
Yeah,
so a big swing, Mr. Chairman, and I just want people to know that are testifying today that we absolutely know and understand that education is critical, but any dollars that we spend, at least right now, on those projections are coming from savings or any additional dollars in the budget. And so we need Alaskans to come together and help us solve this particular problem that the state is facing. And we absolutely have savings that we can draw on for a while.
For a while, that's the key point, and then at about 2025, which isn't that far away, we have some serious problems. Our savings are not quite gone, but they're close to it, and we're in hard deficits at that point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks for the comment, and Mr. McManus, thank you for your testimony. It was very informative. Let's go to the Barrow LIO, and we have two people there, Virginia Walsh and Lisa Morrow. And Virginia, could you testify first? And if you could, keep your testimony to about 3 minutes. We won't cut you off, but if you could keep it about 3 minutes.
Hi, good morning. For the record, my name is Jenny Walsh, and I'm the program coordinator at Arctic Limiting Crisis in Barrow. And I wanted to thank the Senate Finance Committee for the opportunity to testify today. I also would like to thank Senator Olson as part of the subcommittee for including the $287,500 increment in the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault's budget, and to ask the full Senate Finance Committee to support this recommendation. This is really a much-needed increment which will help us meet the rising costs of utilities and transportation and will help us continue to provide basic services such as shelter and food. This increment will also ensure that we can continue to fly victims of domestic violence and sexual assault in from the villages so they can access safe shelter and counseling in Barrow. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Senator Olson's recommendations are in the budget that we have before us. Just to let you know, we did maintain his recommendations. He made a compelling case for you. Ms. Morrow, go ahead.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Lisa Morrow, and I'm an advocate at Arctic Women in Crisis in Barrow. I would like to thank the Senate Finance Committee also for the opportunity to testify today. And I would also like to thank Senator Olson as part of the subcommittee for recommending the $287,500 increment on the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault budget, and thank the Finance Committee for supporting that recommendation. I fly to all of the villages on the North Slope to provide education in the schools around bullying prevention and healthy relationships. And rising costs for fuel have contributed to the increased cost for airfare. This increment will ensure that we can continue to provide these essential services to the students on the North Slope. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Morrow. We appreciate your testimony, and I'm sure you heard what I said to Ms. Walsh, and that is that Senator Olson's recommendations have remained in the budget, and we hope they'll make it all the way through the process, but so far he's done his part to get it in, and we'll see how it fares the rest of the way. I'm sure it'll be fine. We don't have any testifiers at this time, so we're just going to go at ease. Oh, do we have some online?
Senator, I have another participant that just walked in. If she may speak from Barrel, please.
Sure. Go ahead. Could you state your name for the record, and we'll give you a minute to get settled there, and if you have to get your notes, that's fine, too.
No, I've been here for a second. Thank you. This is Peggy Cowan, Superintendent, North Slope Rural School District, and I'm happy to join my colleagues here in Barrel. It's good to see you. Thank you, Senator and committee. I am here to thank you. And this committee has an ongoing support of education through the last few years, in particular this year. I want to encourage you to advocate as you go and meet with the House for the $2 million budget for the pre-K. It's listed as a one-time item, and I want to thank you for keeping it in this budget that you're voting, you're considering today. It is important to the whole state. For our point of view, we have a grant for pre-K of $158,000 that we are counting on in our budget. It was next year would be the second year of a two-year grant, and it is dependent on this funding. And early childhood education makes a huge difference to our students here, and we're an advocate for it statewide. But in particular, we're counting on it. We are going to face about $600,000 in decrease of budget due to sequestration, and we had factored this money in because it was a two-year grant, and we would like it. The other thing I would like to mention is the digital learning. We appreciate the governor's leadership and his vision for having Alaska be part of the 21st century and have a strong digital learning initiative. The both the digital one-to-one initiative here and the Acklin are things that we have been part of and supportive of, and again, our students count on. You made a slight decrease in this. We'd like to advocate for complete funding for this, but we would also like flexibility in the one-to-one initiative. We have been an early adopter. We have equipment. We have other needs, and would think that across the state, the school districts have the best insights of what they need to advocate for a 21st century. Again, thanks to our Senator Donnie Olson and to the committee for your ongoing and strong support of education. We encourage you to continue that support and to continue your advocacy. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't quite get your name when you began testifying. Could you repeat it?
Sorry, it's Peggy Cowan, Superintendent of Schools for the North Slope Borough School District.
Thank you, Peggy. We appreciate your testimony. Do we have anyone else online? Senator Olson, did you have a comment?
No, actually, again, I just want to thank her and all the people up in Barrow for going out of their way on this nice spring day to go ahead and testify on behalf of the district.
Thank you. We're just going to take a brief at ease and wait as the LIOs across the state fill up with more people to testify, if that's the case. We are off the record right now. Okay, we're back on the record. Back on the record for public testimony, and we're going to go to Ketchikan and Petersburg first for testimony. And we're going to start in Ketchikan with Naomi Michelson. We have at our table present Senator Olson, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, Vice Chair Fairclough. We have Senator Meyer at the LIO in Anchorage listening in. So with that, Ms. Michelson, go ahead and testify before the Senate Finance Committee, and if you could keep your comments to about 3 minutes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Chair Kelly and members of the committee. My name is Naomi Michelson, and I am with Women in Safe Homes here in Ketchikan. And Women in Safe Homes has been providing safe shelter to victims of domestic violence and sexual assault for over 34 years. Our service area encompasses Ketchikan, Saxman, Metlakatla, Prince of Wales, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Hyder. The demand for services continues to increase, and WISH staff continue to provide advocacy and support to those in need. My message will be very short, and I just simply want to thank the subcommittee for recommending the inclusion of the $287,500 increment into the Department of Public Safety budget to assist our shelter programs in meeting the increase in basic shelter costs such as utilities, energy, and transportation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Naomi, for your testimony. We'll go to Gretchen Klein in the Prince of Wales.
Good morning, this is Gretchen Klein with the Prince of Wales Health Network, and as you know, we cover a vast area, and many of the organizations that do support the services on Prince of Wales are in other communities, including Ketchikan, Sitka, Wrangell, and so on. And so House Bill 66, I realize there's tough decisions to be made, but with the Prince of Wales Health Network, we really do collaborate with the public health, Alaska Island Community Service out of Wrangell, Search, and also Peace Health. And what we've all really noticed over the years is the behavior health services are very critical, and we're on noticing now that there's really a new push to integrate health, medical health, you know, the medical aspect into the behavior health. So that's the new way that it's headed. And I think it's really important just to really review this bill and look at ways to keep as much as you can. We're seeing more and more people with behavior health challenges, and, you know, it's important to be there for them and help their families and see what we can do so that they can become well-rounded community citizens. And, again, I think most of them really want to, but they really need resources. And on Prince of Wales, as you know, most people have to leave on medevacs if there's a Title 47 or other things that are happening. HOPE over there does a lot of domestic violence prevention, and you guys were very generous in giving them a grant to hire a director. So some really great things are happening. They're starting the Green Dot Initiative. They were chosen on Prince of Wales out of 4 communities in the state. And so, again, you know we have to make tough decisions and cut areas, but I think right now some of these things are critical for continue to help people, especially during economic tough times. People get more stressed out, and we do see that more people are reaching out. And then there's those in those rural areas on Prince of Wales that can't always reach out. So we just hope that you guys will look this over, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Ketchikan, Leah Canfield, go ahead and testify. Please keep your comments to about 3 minutes.
Okay, welcome, Chair Kelly and committee members, and the rest. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Leah Canfield. I am originally from the northern region up in Nome, but I reside here in Ketchikan. I work at the Ketchikan Indian Community Behavioral Health Department, and I'd like to reiterate what my colleagues here have said. I'd like to stress that the cutting the cost of mental health will affect the Ketchikan and other communities in Southeast Alaska. We run a tight ship at KIC. We already are experiencing some of the cuts. We have recently been trained in the Hazleton co-occurring program, and we are implementing this program based on an evidence-based program. We currently have a waiting list of our community members who are seeking treatment and assistance, and we like to provide a service and give available services to the whole community. And more than 80% of all medical appointments in are at our clinic, and there is a need in our behavioral health department. Some of the programs that we oversee are mental health, substance abuse, suicide prevention. We work with mental health with children. We also work and collaborate with the general assistance program and the BIP program and the domestic violence program. And we'd like to continue seeing these services provided to our area. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Staying with Ketchikan, Mr. Rick Pickrell.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, my colleagues here pretty much has said all a whole lot, but I'm also with the Ketchikan Indian Community's Behavioral Health Department. I work with the Veterans Intervention Program, and it's just I'm very much in support of the House Bill 66 and just the behavioral health budget. We've been able to do quite a bit, and it's a great need in this community, and just the integrated services that KIC is able to offer, and also collaboration with WISH. Again, a lot we're branching out, moving into more of our prevention efforts with the Governor's Choose Respect campaign coming up next week. There's a number of other things we have going on throughout the community, throughout the Southern Southeast community. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pickrell. Going to Petersburg LIO, Carrie Case.
Hi, my name is Carrie Case, and I'm representing Petersburg WAVE, which stands for Working Against Violence for Everyone. We've been serving Petersburg on a mostly volunteer basis for over 30 years. We'd like to thank the subcommittee for recommending the inclusion of the incremental funding in the DPS budget of over $200,000 for new non-residential services for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. With state funding, we would be able to increase our services and be able to provide and continue to strengthen our response to domestic violence and sexual assault calls and emergency services. Here in Petersburg, we would be able to continue and very importantly expand our community outreach interventions and training here in Petersburg. We just want to ask the full Finance Committee to support this recommendation, and we thank you so much for your focus on the need for funding like this in small communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Case. Staying with the Petersburg LIO, Mr. John Bringhurst.
Yes, Senator Kelly and representatives of the committee, my name is John Bringhurst. I'm a member of the school board here in Petersburg. I'd like to testify on behalf of education. It's a little bit frustrating and somewhat embarrassing that with all that's going on in education today that we have to make a plea for money. But basically the state is our main source for funding, and as I understand it, the only mandated obligation the state has. There's some really exciting things going on in our schools, particularly here in Petersburg. We have youngsters in middle school and above that all have their own laptop computers that they can take at home and use in the classroom, take on their field trips and so forth to have constant access to the internet and all the information that's available there. We have in our elementary school computer carts that can be wheeled into the classroom so that the youngsters that age have access to these computers and the models that they can do. And some exciting things are happening. We're seeing kids at the elementary school level putting together special projects and PowerPoint productions. We've got a group of kids in our high school who have now received training from Apple to do minor repair and rebuilding of these computers, so they're getting training both in the classroom and outside of the classroom. I'd like to make a plea that the digital learning budget, which was cut significantly, be reinstated. It's very important to us and to other schools in the state in terms of keeping pace with the technology that our youngsters need. It's exciting to work with kids, but it does take quality and motivated teachers and staff, and it does take the equipment to make these things available. We need the help from you to restore the funding sources that have been cut from the governor's budget for digital learning. And I'd also like to make a plea for increasing the base student allocation, which we have gone 4 years now without any kind of an increase. We need your help and appreciate any support you can give for education in Alaska. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments, Mr. Bringhurst. A quick question for me. It has nothing to do with the budget. Are you related to the Bringhurst family up in Fairbanks?
My daughter is moving up there, but I don't think she's there yet.
Well, there's lots of Bringhursts up there, so she'll fit right in.
Well, that would be wonderful.
Kim Kelkenny. By the way, Mr. Bringhurst, I didn't mean for you to think I didn't take your testimony seriously. It was very well,
no,
very
thank
well
you.
Put and succinct. Yeah. Kim Kelkenny.
Hi. Yes. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Kimberly Kilkenny. I represent Petersburg Mental Health Services. I am a licensed clinical social worker, and I was born and raised in Petersburg. I am here today in response to House Bill 66 with a proposed cut in behavioral health budget. I've worked in Alaska in behavioral health for over 15 years and have never seen the level of increased violence and substance abuse as I have seen in the recent months. Last October, our community was on lockdown for 3 separate gun or other weapon threats against numerous people, including children. During one of those, I assisted the police in a standoff with an intoxicated, suicidal, homicidal individual, a first for me, and hopefully it was the last. We have heroin, methamphetamines readily available, which have increased the level of property crimes and interpersonal violence. We have seen an increase in domestic violence because of the lack of prosecution from our previous DA. Our neighboring community, Cake, is reeling from their recent murder of a child by a child. Now is the time to consider a reduction in funding. We are currently maximizing every bit of money we receive to address this level of increased violence, providing emergency services to victims, and serve our community's mental health and substance abuse needs. We work very hard at keeping our people locally, as it costs over $11,000 to send one person for a psychiatric evaluation in Juneau for 3 days. Any reduction in funding will reduce our ability to keep our community members locally. With the budget cut proposed, we will lose clinicians. We will be forced to triage services rather than promote stability. We will see an increased demand for emergency services among our hospital, our clinic, our police department, and our EMS. Years of prevention efforts will be abandoned in order to manage these emergencies. I encourage you to reconsider and to explore the long-term financial consequences of this budget cut, as well as the emotional and physical impact of our communities. Thank you, and I appreciate your time in reconsidering this proposed budget cut.
Thank you, Ms. Kilkenny. Appreciate your testimony. Staying in Petersburg, Liz Cabrera.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Liz Cabrera, and I'm coordinator for the Petersburg Economic Development Council. I'd like to address HB 65, specifically the ADFNG operating budget. I wanted to thank the committee for including $400,000 back into the budget. These funds would be used for supporting the regional port sampling programs. Those programs are critical to the in-season management efforts of the department. Without these programs, the department cannot accurately determine whether fisheries should open or close, whether escapement goals have been reached. The absence of such information would force the department to act conservatively and curtail our fisheries, which would result in less employment in our communities, less revenue to the state and municipalities, fewer Alaskan seafood products sold, reduced market share for Alaska salmon, and increased market share for our competitors. Now that since there's a difference between the House and Senate versions, I strongly support and encourage the Senate Finance Committee to hold strong in the committee conference process and retain that funding in the final version of the bill. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Ms. Cabrera. At this time, we don't have anyone online at the LIOs. Do we have anyone off-net? So we're going to just take an ease and wait for the other LIOs to come online or other people to come to testify. Ready? ahead and get back on the record here with public testimony. It is my desire to go to some people here in the Juneau Finance Committee room. I don't have any names for sign up, Senator Olson, just so if there are people here that wish to testify, if you could sign up, if there's a piece of paper, and if someone could get that to me. I guess Marta is working on that right now. As we wait for that, I'm going to go to the Senator Olson.
I just want to thank you for making this leeway in the schedule for allowing these people to go ahead and testify.
Oh, certainly. Anyway, I think what we'll do while Marta is getting a sign-up sheet for Juneau here, we'll go to the Cordova LIO and Pete Hopfner with the Cordova School Board. Go ahead, Mr. Hopfner, and keep your testimony to somewhere around 3 minutes. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. My name is Peter Hefner. I'm a president of the Cordova School District Board. And good morning to the members of the Senate Finance Committee. Education needs funding. 3 years of continuous flat funding with no inflationary protection gives schools less and less funding. As salaries increase, insurance goes up each year, and energy costs are continuing to climb. Flat funding is cutting funding to schools, and this far into the session, there's been no substantive talk about funding schools. Cordova exceeds what the governor wants to see in adequate yearly performance. Cordova School District is one of 12 districts that has consistently exceeded NCLB requirements and surpassed AYP. Governor Parnell wants to see 90% graduation rate by 2020. Cordova has always seen those graduation rates. What are we to do? What can we do? The lack of funding is hurting Cordova students. We have lost two excellent science teachers and an excellent English teacher over the last 2 years. We cannot hire to replace these lost teachers due to the decrease in funding over the last 3 years. Our students are paying the price. Our future is suffering with this continued lack of funding. The future of Alaska is in jeopardy. The digital initiative. With the lack of teachers due to funding, we have one hope of allowing our students to access the governor's performance scholarship, the Alaska Performance Scholarship. As the rigor increases, the district cannot offer the necessary courses to be eligible. This scholarship will not be accessible to all students. If the state develops a scholarship program, should all students be able to access it? Our one hope was that with computers, our students would be able to access the courses necessary to participate in Alaska Performance Scholarship. But with the suggested cuts to the digital initiative and with Alaska Learning Network funding in question, where do we turn so that our students will have a successful education and hope for the future? The funding that Governor Parnell put in for the digital initiative is a move in the correct direction. Let us move our students into the 21st century. We want our students to be able to function in the 21st century. Last year's project, iPads for Literacy, the grant given to House District 6, showcased what could be gained utilizing computers in education. The executive summary shows data that all students who participated had their educational growth more than double the expected growth norm. This project shows that computers, even in the first year, substantially help students to achieve incredible gains. AASB is ready to and able to put the digital initiative project together, as they have been working with computers and school districts since the initiation of the Consortium for Digital Learning in 2006. AASB understands what it takes to get computers in students' hands, professional development for teachers, and all the necessary infrastructure for proper technology distribution to all Alaska students. As school board members, we are charged with the duty of preparing students for jobs that have yet to be created. We want our children prepared for the 21st century. Computers are part of the 21st century. Let us move forward. Thank you very much for your time. Think of students and what is best for them.
Thank you, Mr. Hefner. Marta, do we have anyone yet? All right. Okay, we'll stand by. We're going to go to the Valdez LIO, Barb Bryson.
Hello. Members of the Senate Finance Committee, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak today about House Bill 65. My name's Barb Bryson, and I'm a retired teacher librarian for the state of Alaska and co-chair for our recently formed Valdez Imagination Library. We're asking the Senate Finance Committee to restore full funding for Best Beginnings and parents of teachers to the governor's proposed funding levels. Best Beginnings is providing the support and guidance that we need as we initiate our own Imagination Library, yet their goal is for communities to become self-sufficient with time. Their website has a wealth of free resources to utilize for parents and teachers of pre-K children. Another excellent component of Best Beginnings is the annual training. Individuals from around our state come together to collaborate and return back to their communities with planned goals involving family-centered activities, pre-K events to further the love of reading. Valdez had our own Imagination Library kickoff just this past January. We had over 40 families enroll their children at that one-day event. We currently have over 80 pre-K children on the roster ready to receive their very first quality children's book this very month. Talk about leveling the playing field for those children going into kindergarten. And parents don't have to pay a dime to have their child enrolled and discover a world of rich literature. If you take the time to go to the Best Beginnings website, you'll find all kinds of data that reinforces how important it is to stimulate a child's brain from birth. Remember, parents are a child's first teacher, and if we as Alaskans and community members can give parents and caregivers the tools they need to raise their children to be successful at school, what a bonus for our children, our schools, our communities, and our state. I'd like to thank you for allowing me this time to speak on behalf of Best Beginnings and parents of teachers.
Thank you, Ms. Bryson. Is it Judy Almy or Almy or Almy or in Valdez?
Yes, it's Almy.
Almy, okay. Judy, go ahead and testify and keep to about 3 minutes if you could.
Sure. Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm a speech and language pathologist in Valdez, and I have been for 40 years, not always in Valdez, but 20 years in the state of Alaska. And over the years, I've seen, I was working before Head Start was even started, so the introduction of these new programs is wonderful, and we can see such changes in children because of them. My caseload is made up of mainly preschool children, and I have also worked with the birth to three population. And when kindergarten is different than people realize, it's a lot more academic. And children going into kindergarten need as much preparation as possible. And not only do the children need prepared, but the parents do. They need to know what's appropriate, what can I expect. And programs such as Best Beginnings and Parents as Teachers do exactly this. We have recently started Barb Bryson has just said, we've recently started an Imagination Library in Valdez, and there's so much enthusiasm from parents and from various professionals that work with children. And can you imagine how children are going to feel when they start getting a book every month? I would just like to see this funding return to the original level, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. At this time, I'm going to go to the Juneau committee room here for live testimony. We have in the audience here Brad Reich, mayor of Kiana. Hi, Brad. Why don't you come up and sit down and give us your testimony.
Good morning. I'm here to talk about runways. City of Kiana has been working on trying to get an extension to our runway since the early 80s. And it's now in the works, but we also need access to our gravel source. It's 2.5 miles away, and our runway basically needs gravel in order to expand it. So I really hope that we work really hard together to try to fulfill that funding so that way we can have a 4,000-foot runway and be able to get basically goods into our community at a cheaper rate, because right now with the shortage of the runway, we can only come in with smaller planes, not the larger planes. So I sure appreciate the support for the runway expansion. Also, another note, public safety. We've worked really hard to get public safety in our region. I really appreciate the efforts here. And if we can keep pushing forward to get public safety to these smaller rural villages, it's really going to help with our communities. I've got one BPSO right now, and we're really working hard trying to get another one in Kiana, because the hardship that we face is just with one, they don't get their break, they don't get their time. And we all know, as busy as you are, that we all have to have our own time too. Education, we in Northwest Arctic are putting out a magnet school, and we're working really hard to get a dormitory. We need $12 million to get a 50-bed dormitory in our region so we could provide education for our high school students in the fields of medical. I'm trying to think about medical, natural resource development, and just one more. I'm sorry, I kind of got a brain freeze here, but we're looking at trying to develop our natural resources up north, and by promoting these types of education, our kids can go to work when they graduate. So if I'd really like your support with all this. Thank you.
Chairman, thank you for your thoughts. Senator Olson?
Mr. Rich, thank you very much for coming out this morning. Last summer, you brought up public safety. There was a shooting, a terrible situation up there in Kiana. What do you think, if you had more VPSOs, or what kind of support was were the troopers giving you there?
Well, basically, that's a good question, Donnie. My feelings is if we had more support at the time, it probably wouldn't have escalated like it did. Mm-hmm. We could have kept it within the town itself. It wouldn't have got out of hand. And I feel that the call out, the time it took to get the resources to the community is what excelled it, made it really hard to try to contain it right away. So we had to wait almost 2 days to get a response due to weather and other things. So if we had the capacity to help us with that issue, it probably would have stayed within the village.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Just a quick note here. We're taking testimony here in Juneau, but this is from people that are who live in the communities that are scheduled today. Just want to make that note, with one exception, and we'll go ahead with that if time permits. Lon Garrison? Stand by, Sitka. We're going to get to you in here in just a few minutes. It won't take long here with the folks in Juneau.
Yes, good morning. My name is Lon Garrison. I'm a school board member in Sitka. I'm also a board member on the Association of Alaska Board of Directors, Association of Alaska School Boards Board of Directors. So this morning I wanted to testify in support and advocate for education funding. And I've been sitting here all morning listening to many of my colleagues around the state and many of the parents testify in support of education funding. And I just wanted to add my voice to that and convey that, you know, we face many challenges in education, as you well know. And Senator Faircloth, I appreciate your statements. How are we going to face these problems together? Nonetheless, we're facing a daunting hill to climb in the near future with the implementation of new state standards, state evaluation procedures for principals and teachers, and we have yet to identify the resources how we're going to meet those challenges. And as a school board member from Sitka, I look forward actually to trying to meet those challenges in regard to state standards and developing curriculum alignment and instructional materials to go along with that, because I think it's our job to do that. It's very important that we do that. I also look forward to working on the teacher evaluation and principal evaluation process, because those are the ways that we're going to really make some fundamental changes in our education system. But we're going to need resources to be able to do that. So just food for thought that's something that we need to consider. I understand that, you know, the idea of adding to the base student allocation is probably not something that's in the cards this year. But we do have other opportunities, even outside the base student allocation, the foundation formula, to add to education funding. Some of that could come through energy funding, as it has in the past. One of the major ways that we could make a great impact on education is through the Digital Learning Initiative, and you've heard several people speak about it today. I'm intimately familiar with the Digital Learning Initiative, and as Pete mentioned, AASB is positioned extremely well to be able to help implement that project on a statewide basis. Nobody else in the country has ever done that. We have the ability, the capability, the knowledge, and the know-how to actually make that happen, and it will be a game changer. I really feel that it's a unique opportunity that will not cost the state a tremendous amount for the benefit that we're going to get. So I'd like to advocate for those types of innovative funding that really could get us on down the road, and in the future look forward to working with the Senate, with the rest of the legislature, to addressing some way to meet the challenges of funding education and providing education to the students across the state. The last thing I'd like to mention real briefly is I'm also the aquaculture director at the Sitka Sound Science Center and an adjunct faculty member with University of Alaska Southeast. And one of the programs I'm involved with is the UAS Fisheries Technology Program. And it's a certificate and two-year associate's degree program where we work with mostly distance-delivered program, working with students to be able to get an associate's degree that would allow them to work in the fisheries field. And currently, it's not in the operating budget as part of the university. And I would like to advocate for a small amount of funding that goes to that program to try and get that back in. It's an extremely effective program. It's working with many rural communities and folks that otherwise cannot attend university, and it's fulfilling a need for trained staff in the fisheries world that we currently have a difficult time finding. So it's been a very effective program, and I would advocate that you take a close look at that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. Bobby Wells from the Northwest School District, I think that's Mr. Olson.
Yes.
The Northwest School District.
Northwest Arctic School District.
Hi, Mr. Wells. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for inviting. Say hello, and thanks for all the wonderful work that you're doing. On behalf of the children, how important education is, and that we need to fund education can be determined by a stroke of a pen, especially here in the legislature. In traditional ways, you know, our people learn from the elders, stories and experiences that they've had in life. They've passed them on to the children. And that's important how education works just the same. Is what is beyond us here as children wanting to pursue education will be determined by opportunity. And what opportunity that we give to our children is sometimes the decisions are made here in the legislature. And whatever you decide how you do your funding in the operating budget, especially including education, you know, a lot of kids, you know, are depending on what you're doing here. So I'm hoping that the legislature would pay special attention to education. Education is important. For instance, in our area up northwest, we're wanting to have preschool. That's important. A child should learn right from the beginning, you know, not to leave the kids out. Because that's how a child will learn in the early ages will determine how that child is when he's 10 years old or 20 years old. So that's important, you know, to remember how important it is to fund such as preschool that, and also career technology. In our area, we're wanting to hopefully, and I believe it is now mandatory that any child who has access to technology will for sure have a career portfolio. You know, a lot of these kids have interests, they have hobbies, you know, and they like to do stuff, so we'd like to do some kind of a skills evaluation on our children to determine to see what kind of a person this one would become. So career is important. You know, we need to focus on funding career programs, such as the magnet school that we're doing up in Northwest. That's important. There's a need right now for 12 men for a dorm up there. And, you know, we're wanting to focus on the job demands up there, which are education, health, and natural resources. So we're wanting to focus on getting our magnet school dorm funded. We hope that would become funded. That's $12 million. I just wanted to make sure that I emphasize that. One thing here in the legislature, you know, working with the operating budget, everything we do should be focused around education. Everything that we do, regardless if it's public service, etc., because this is where we learn about becoming a policeman or maybe something, natural resources. This is so what we provide to the kids will determine what the future is going to become. So I just wanted to encourage you to please spend, you know, on education. I just wanted to support that. Thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Wells. Appreciate your testimony and your thoughts.
Okay.
Thanks. For Cordova, is it Cash? Is it Jim Cash?
Yes.
Mr. Cash, could you come up and give us your thoughts?
Good morning.
Morning.
Jim Cash, Mayor of City of Cordova. I too would like to speak about the your consideration on the digital learning initiative. It's important. Cordova is a shining example of how it can work, and those funds are important to keeping it going and making it accessible to every other kid in the state. Also, consideration for early learning in pre-K. Is important to reaching children early, getting them in the schools early. It helps their education throughout their entire time in school. I'd also like to talk about continued support. Appreciate your continued support for Fish and Game. It's important to our economic base, the management of the fisheries, and last topic would be revenue sharing, which is also important. It helps fill budget gaps, you know, in times of high energy costs and things, and really helps all the communities in the state. Thank you.
Go ahead, Senator Bishop.
Jim, I had the pleasure of touring your school, in your city and your school district as Commissioner of Labor, and I came back and told my friends and others in the building at Cordova is a really good example of how you can do it right. And I was really impressed is how you were looking at building a new school and you decided to, you had a good foundation with the school that you had, and instead of spending millions on a new school construction, how you actually saved money and made a good old sound school better with less money.
Yes, sir.
And that the nutrition program that you have there at that school is second to none. I've toured just about every school district in the state. It's very impressive what you're doing over there, and Cordova's doing it right. Not to say the other districts aren't, but you guys are hitting on all cylinders over there.
Thank you very much, and thank you again for your continued support.
Mayor Cash, thanks for your testimony.
Thank you.
Glad you happened to be here when we were having this. Now we're going to go to Sitka. There's plenty of people at the Sitka LIO, and we'll just kind of remain there probably till the end. So with that, is it Vicki D'Amico?
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity, Senator Meyer and members of the Finance Committee. Simply here to thank you for recommending the inclusion of $287,000 increment in the DPS budget in order to assist shelter programs and other programs in meeting the increase in basic costs such as utilities and energy and especially transportation of bringing victims in from the villages. I'm the executive director, and I've worked at SAFE for 25 of the 31 years it's been in existence. And we do intervention, response, and prevention, media development, Sitka Youth Projects, a lot of outside collaboration with many agencies in town. And I want to reinforce the need for the operating funds, however. Besides all the shelter and the response and the crisis intervention, the systems advocacy, the legal advocacy, the outreach to the villages is very important. You may have heard that there was last month a tragic death, sexual assault and death of a 13-year-old girl. We did not have the funds to go out there, so we had to do some budget revisions, and I sent our outreach person immediately. It's important that, I mean, domestic violence and sexual assault thrives in isolations, and these villages are pretty isolated. So it's important to have ongoing outreach to these villages in a culturally sensitive and traditional manner. We will continue, you know, to do the work and look for and work on our prevention so that the next generation has a different social paradigm to work with. But we still will always, I'm very grateful for this increase in funding, and I wanted to let you know that and thank you. And that's it.
Thank you for your thoughts, Ms. D'Amico. Sarah Bell.
Thank you, Senator Meyer, Senator Kelly, and members of the committee. My name's Sarah Bell. I live in Sitka, Alaska. I was 26 years a librarian at Sitka High School, and I'm now currently the director at Kettleson Memorial Library. Many of you may have grown up in small towns with Carnegie libraries, and they were important because they recognized the value of leveling the playing field, making education and research available to everyone, especially those in very small towns. Well, that mission hasn't changed, and the OWL Project, which is the Online with Libraries program that's funded under the Digitizing Education in Alaska, is doing just that. They support local public and combined community school libraries in the communities they serve by supplying improved bandwidth that allows access to state and federal e-government services, applications, licenses, and educational opportunities. And I'd also like you to note that the state OWL funds leverage about $2 million of federal E-rate funding to support those costs of bandwidth for public libraries. And I'd like to just give you a couple of examples of how we've used video conferencing equipment in Sitka. We had four people come and sit in my office and take an 8-hour food certification course via video conferencing. Local Sitkans were able to come in and view the presidential debates and inaugural address, which we tend to think everybody has a television, but they don't. We recently had about three people come in and experience a video conference related to the home energy rebate program. And the video conference allows them to have sort of a face-to-face interaction and to pose questions. And then we also were able to set up a video conference for local city officials for a quick 20-minute conference with Governor Parnell. That doesn't happen very often. But mostly I'd like you to note that for the cost of $1.10 per citizen per year, we're able to offer all of those opportunities. And I know for certain that the broadband coverage in the public library has made a huge difference for people who are coming in and using the new equipment that we have, as well as wireless. The other offering I'd like you to fully fund is the Live Homework Help. It's an online live chat tutoring service that offers homework assistance to fourth grade through beginning college students. Just to give you an example of how it's being used, in 2008 there were 5,073 sessions, and it has increased to 19,000 sessions in 2012, which I think pretty clearly demonstrates that need for service. And once again, we have 131,661 public school students in 516 public schools, so Live Homework Help costs the state $1.04 per student per year. So I think we get great value for these services, and I would urge you to fully fund the OWL project as well as live homework help. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Bell. Tim Fulton.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to testify here today. My name is Tim Fulton. I'm a school board member here in Sitka. I've been on the school board for, this will be my fifth budget session. And I guess I want to thank you guys for the help in the past, and I would like to encourage you to help us as we move forward with helping all of our students. I just want to remind you that we have special needs students, we have social and economic challenge students, and through public schools, we do our best to help each and every one of those succeed. We are doing some exciting stuff here in Sitka. We're making some partnerships, making a difference in our students' lives, but with your help, we can continue to do that work. So I encourage you to fund education, digital learning, early childhood education can all make a difference to each and every one of our students. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fulton, for your testimony. Ed Gray, also in Sitka.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate this moment to testify. I want to thank all the professional educators who have taken their time to be here. And I want to thank the Sitka School District Administration, School Board. They're a dedicated, passionate group of individuals, and they've represented Sitka District well. They've advocated for the students over here, and I just want to acknowledge that and appreciate that. I just want to take a moment, some observations that I have, and that is, as the cost of running a school district increase, And the funding apparently remains flat, the business of running a school district is going to happen. I mean, teachers get paid, contractors get paid, bills get paid. But what concerns me is that it seems like it's the most needy and vulnerable who lose programs and lose funding. There's a lot of work that, you know, that we've tried to do, with the low socioeconomic group of students that we come in, 4- and 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. We have a program here in Sitka. We have two of the people that work for the program here in the room today. I mean, they've been doing tremendous work, with low socioeconomic students and academic achievement, and their while their work is remarkable, they only get to work with about 20% of the students who need to be in the program. And actually, about a year or two ago, I called 7 different school districts to find out how they were dealing with the same problems that we had here in Sitka. And what I learned from that is that there's a lot of talented, passionate, dedicated educators, frustrated educators around the state who apparently have the same problems that we have with funding. So, I would just like to acknowledge the work, the dedication that the Sitka School District School Board Administration has done in representing us. I want to thank the educators that are here, that take their time to be here and advocate for the students. And I want to thank you all for this moment to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Tristan, is it Govan, or I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Tristan Govan, and I'm Deputy General Manager for Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and would like to take this opportunity to testify in support of funding for education and social service programs. And I'd just like to begin with the words of a tribal elder and leader here in Sitka whose words continue to guide us. And Kaslet Charlie Joseph Sr. said, "Even from long ago, we cherish our grandchildren. No matter what we value, we offer it up to them." And for us, that means valuing our future and working to make our state and our communities a better place for the coming generations. And the tribe's position on how we do this is to increase funding and support for education programs and social service programs that support our students and families. We need to better support preschool and early learning opportunities. We need to support after-school programs. And we need to fund and support women's shelters and transitional living programs that support the needs of our students and families. In addition to those, we need to support higher education opportunities so that Native youth can pursue careers in the teaching field, in natural resources, in the health service industry. And we need to do this for the most vulnerable populations. Here in Sitka, our Native graduation rate is 61% as compared to an overall graduation rate for non-Native students of 83%. So that 20 percentage point difference in graduation rate, we believe, can only be affected by early learning opportunities, by funding culturally responsive preschool programs that support our students' needs coming into kindergarten. We also have to ask whether a child can learn if they live in an environment of domestic violence and family violence, and we need to support women's shelters and transitional living programs that get these children out of those situations. This country we live in is a country of opportunity and equality, and I think we need to ensure that every citizen in Alaska has these same opportunities, and we need to prioritize funding accordingly. Ganoschish, and thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Gavin. Nancy Douglas.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Nancy Douglas. I work for the Sitka School District, but in partnership with the school district, I also oversee the Sitka Native Education Program. And I'm here to testify in support of higher, if possible, education funding. 69% of our tribal citizens qualify as low income. Of those 69%, 38% of those our tribal citizens are in preschool to second grade age group. And with increased funding, it'll provide a classroom with a small class size where our kids can be held up. And thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Nancy. Mim McConnell.
Good morning, Senators. I'm speaking here today as mayor of the city and borough of Sitka. Thank you for this opportunity to comment on the operating budget. I know how difficult your task is in having to decide what to fund and what not to, as the Sitka Assembly and the school district are facing the same reality. I'd like to help you with your decisions by sharing the two big items on my list, K-12 education and municipal sharing. Education funding is critically important for our communities, our state, and our country. Providing a superior education pays dividends in so many ways far into the future, affecting generations of Alaskans and Americans to come. And yet our education system is constantly challenged by lack of funding and forward funding. Please consider increasing the base student allocation in this year's operating budget, as it has remained flat for 4 years. One way to help with the education funding issue is through municipal sharing, which is vitally important to Alaska's municipalities. Without it, Sitka has only two ways to fund city government: local taxes and fees. But Sitkans have already been hit hard by fee increases. Since 2009, they have been seeing a steady rate increase in all of their utilities and mortgage fees, as the Assembly and staff have deemed it wise to cover replacement costs. Now, with the $150 million Blue Lake Hydro Dam expansion project in progress, and with costs much greater than projected, residents could see their electric rates increase by 60% over the next 2 years to meet bonding requirements. You can see how increasing taxes and fees to make up for a loss in revenue sharing would be a huge additional burden for our citizens. You might ask, what about trimming city government? We already have a lean city government from prior budget cuts, but now this year we have to cut an additional $1 million to balance our FY14 budget. This could mean a loss of around 9 staff positions. And what about federal monies? The city in past years has been assisted by the federal PILT and Secure Rural Schools funding, but funding this year is not a sure thing. And while on the subject of municipal sharing, please make sure that whatever oil and gas bill is signed by the governor does not leave funding this out of the general fund, which is where the latest bill has it coming from. Thank you for your time and careful consideration of these important issues.
Thank you. Jim Seelan.
Thank you, Senator Meyer and Senator Kelly and the committee members for allowing me time to testify. This is a great, it's a very democratic process that we have here that we can address you directly. My name is Jim Seelan, and I'm currently an assistant professor with the University of Alaska Southeast Fisheries Technology Program here at Sitka. I'm also the board chairman for the Sitka Sound Science Center, and I'm here to support ask you to support University of Alaska Fisheries Seafood Maritime Initiative, that project for the Fisheries Technology Program would effectively significantly expand the program and support what we're already doing with only two faculty members. This is a statewide program that offers the only hatchery. I could have come armed with a lot of statistics about what fisheries does for our state, but I think you're probably all very aware of that, certainly the salmon hatchery program in particular. There is no currently no hatchery training program in our state to support that industry. I am also board chairman with the Science Center and a 30-year career within the salmon enhancement industry in Alaska. So I'm really concerned that the Sheldon Jackson College used to support this kind of training, and it does not exist anymore. So we've stepped in and filled the gap through online, live interactive online training as well as field sessions, and are effectively doing that, but with only two faculty members, it's kind of tough to do. So I'm just asking your support for that in that sense. If you think about the value of a fisheries, no matter where you live in this state, it surely is tens, if not, I'd say tens of thousands of jobs statewide. I want to kind of emphasize that this is a workforce development project, so we are putting people to work. When I travel around, I see our graduates in management positions. It's not just salmon enhancement. We have a two-year associate's degree. People can either choose to go through a fish culture or a fisheries management position. So this is also training that supports our fish and game, forest service, fish and wildlife service, these basic seasonal positions. We are operators. I think you're probably aware of some of those positions and how critical they are to our state's economy. So this position, this University of Alaska Fisheries Seafood Maritime Project or position for fisheries technology at UAS would really support our program a lot. With only two people, would add one more person and allow us to encourage participation statewide in other areas. And I'd just like to finish with, we have established memorandums of understanding just in this past year with Prince William Sound Community College, Kachemak Bay College in Kachemak Bay campus in Homer, Bristol Bay campus, and also Kodiak College. So, again, this is a statewide program, not just a Southeast. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate being able to present.
Thank you, Mr. Seelan. Appreciate your testimony. That does it for this portion of public testimony. We are noticed to come back at 1:30. And we will hear testimony from Fairbanks, Matt Sue, Anchorage, Glen Allen, Seward, and Homer. And then we're also scheduled for public testimony tomorrow for Juneau, Kenai, Kodiak, Dillingham, and we'll do the off-net sites at that time as well. So with that, we're going to adjourn for 1:30.